At holiday times, my little friends, you are in a good condition to receive visits from the angels, because you do not feel naughty, nor are you unkind to each other, but each one of you rejoices over the pretty gifts all have received, and are willing to share your sweetmeats with your playmates and friends. So the little angel children who come around you smile and feel glad that the bright Christmas and golden New Year come to Earth to bless each home, and to make the children happy. Just at this time of the year you will have beautiful dreams, for when you are snugly tucked in your little beds, and your tired eyelids have dropped in slumber, our little messengers, the spirits of the Summerlander, have the power to take you away from Earth up to their bright home, where they show you all the lovely things that are to be found there. Then you have a joyous time until the morning light breaks into your room, when you are conducted back to your bodies, and awake refreshed, and, oh, so glad because of all the pretty sights you thought you dreamed of, but which you really did see in the Summerland. Some of our spirit messengers have been watching a dear little girl who lives in a big city on the Earth. They love to see her patient little face, all bright with smiles, watching her mama to see if there is not something she can do to help her. The mama of this little girl, whom we will call Bessie, is very poor, and she has to work hard in order to buy food and clothing for herself and child. Bessie does not grumble and cry when her mama has nothing but bread and molasses to give her for dinner, but she eats her food with a brave smile as she says, "Never mind, mama. When I get to be a big woman I'll work hard, and then we'll have tattoos every day." The angels love to come to Bessie, because she is a very lovable child, and they would rather visit her and sing their songs to make her slumber sweet than to enter the luxurious homes of wealth and gaze upon all the beautiful objects they contain. Last Thanksgiving, Bessie had a couple of cookies and a big red apple to go with her bread. These her kind mama bought her as a treat. Christmas had almost come, but the little girl did not look for any gift to come with it, because, she said, "Santa Claus can't find out everyone, and so I guess he'll not come this way this year." A band of spirit children determined among themselves to give Bessie a good Christmas, so they went out here and there into the homes of the rich in the big city, and tried to influence those who lived therein to do good unto others. At last they found a little girl who wanted to make someone happy, and so they kept putting thoughts into her head how to help others. When she went out to play, the spirit children would make her walk up and down before the old house where Bessie lived, and sometimes she saw the child gazing shyly at her from the window. At last the idea popped into the head of Sadie of the little girl whose parents were wealthier that she would like to give that little bit of a thing, meaning Bessie, a good Christmas, so she told her mother what she wished to do, and asked her assistance. I cannot tell you all that was done, but early Christmas morning Bessie's mama was called to her door by a loud rap, and there stood a colored man, who bowed, lifted a large basket into the room, and disappeared. A note attached to the basket read, "For the little girl and her mama who live here, with a Merry Christmas from Santa Claus." Oh, the nice things to eat that were in that basket, enough to last a number of days. There were also a package of toys, a pair of mittens, and a bright plaid dress for Bessie, with a warm gray shawl for the mama. You may imagine Bessie's joy when all these things were shown her. She clapped her hands again and again, while her good mother's heart was full of thankful praise to the unknown friend who had made her little one so happy. Sadie also enjoyed her Christmas better than ever before, for she not only felt the results of a good deed in her heart, but also felt the sweet influence of approving angels surrounding her, while the messenger spirits from the Summerland rejoiced with exceeding joy in the happiness of each one. Chapter 19, Golden Nest and Other Places. Golden Nest is another beautiful place in the Summerland where the dear little children have happy homes. In this sweet, delightful spot the birds flit about in the green branches of the stately trees, and warble their songs of melody. You would be surprised in watching the antics of these bright-plumaged little songsters to observe how they will dance and swing upon the shoulder or finger of a child, always bold and fearless, never timid or afraid. Their songs, too, rival the human tones of the children's voices and seem to be keeping up an harmonious accompaniment to the words the little people sing. Golden Nest is like a great green nest flooded with sunshine. It is circular in form, and carpeted with the softest and brightest of grass and moss. Flowers grow in great profusion, and their beauty and perfume yield an eternal pleasure to the senses of those who approach them. Little streams of clear water bubble and gurgle over smooth, round, white stones and glisten in the soft sunshine like ribbons of molten silver. The atmosphere is balmy, and it is a luxury to live out of doors in this enchanting place, that is a golden nest for the troops of merry little human songsters that dwell together there in love and harmony. But these little people have a great deal of work to do. They find enjoyment, pleasure, and play in this labor, because it gives them unbounded zest and vigor in life. The children of Golden Nest are messenger spirits, and they act as messengers between the people who live in the body and their friends in the great spirit world. All the spirit messengers do not live in this pretty place, for such beneficent, that is good, spirits are to be found in all parts of the Summerland, but all the children who live in Golden Nest are such workers, that is, they bear messages from spirits to mortals, bring down to earth bright thoughts and impress them on the minds of people here, stamp the desire to be pure and good in the hearts of persons on earth, and come from their beautiful homes to watch over, care for, and love little children in the body, and, by singing sweet songs in their ears at night, give them happy dreams, so that they will wish to be kind and loving to each other, and obedient, affectionate, and respectful toward their parents. So you see, the children who live in Golden Nest have a great deal to do. They are never idle, never naughty, never sad, for though it pains them to see earthly children naughty or unhappy, and to find mortal men and women ill and sorrowful, yet they are too busy in trying to help the unfortunate ones of earth to attend to any sadness in their own hearts, and so it will not remain, but flies away before the great light of cheerfulness in which these little people dwell. If I call the children of Golden Nest angels, my dears, you will know it is because they are messengers, for the word angel means message bearer, only this and nothing more. But in these days we are taught to consider angels as pure, beautiful, and holy beings. Well, the little boys and girls in Golden Nest are pure and holy, because they do not think bad thoughts. They love each other, are anxious to be good, try to help others to do right, and are busy in working to benefit someone in some manner, and they are beautiful, for their faces are smiling and sweet, their eyes shine with happiness, and they seem to leave a trail of brightness wherever they go. Moreover, they are really message bearers, so I think you will agree with me that they are really and truly angels. A group of these little people were very earnestly engaged in conversation not long since, and as I watched their faces glow with animation, I became convinced that they were discussing some new plan for the benefit of mortals. And so the events proved. I will briefly tell you of this work which these angels are now doing, a circle, that is, a place where spirits come back to earth to manifest to mortals, has been opened by a family who are anxious not only to receive knowledge of immortal life for themselves, but also are desirous to bring this truth unto the comprehension of others. This family had parted with three beautiful little children who had some time since been taken to the Summerland. So the father and mother opened their home and invited their friends who had also laid the earthly forms of dear children awhile to join with them in invoking the presence of their spirit friends. Well, this group of little ones in Golden Nest I had seen talking so earnestly together were the children of these good people, for having learned what their parents were about, they were all excitement to have a share in the work from their side of life. So it was determined that the little Onlyza should return to earth, and for a time, with the permission of their teachers or guardians, take up their abode in the home where the circle was to meet, for by doing this these angels were able to bring a strong spiritual power to the earthly home which would assist them in making themselves manifest to their parents and friends. So they have left their beautiful Golden Nest, and are now staying on the earth. They have controlled a medium in the circle, spoken their names, and announced their presence to their delighted parents. Just as soon as they have given their earthly friends all the spiritual power that they can, they will leave the mortal home, to convey messages back and forth from mortals to spirits, and from spirits to mortals. The circle controlled and guarded by this band of children from Golden Nest is destined to be of great service. Already, outsiders have been admitted, unbelievers have received messages from their dear lost ones, many hearts have been made happy, and our sweet little message bearers are working earnestly to develop their medium so that she can see the spirits who come to her, and describe them to their anxious friends. They bring her strength so that she can bear the trials of life, and be happy in working for the angels. It is necessary for them to live with the medium now, so that she may constantly feel the pure, uplifting influence of their childlike, unselfish spirits, and thus not grow weary of the work planned out for her by spirit teachers, so they have gladly given up the beautiful sights and sounds of their beloved Golden Nest, to take up their abode in a humble home on earth. But in a little time, when their work is done, and spirits of all grades and powers will be able to manifest at the circle and bring messages of joy to weary hearts, as well as to find strength and happiness for themselves, these little angels will return to their summerland home, well pleased with the success of their noble work. A little girl who lives in Golden Nest has been a message bearer for 7 years. She passed from the body when less than a year old, and was brought to her friends on earth by another little angel who wished to do them good. When little Jenny first controlled a medium, she could only lisp baby names to her parents, but by coming constantly she gained power to express herself more clearly. When 3 years of age, she became the messenger of a medium, and from that time she has made herself known to mortals almost every day, always bringing messages from some spirit to friends on earth, bearing messages from people here to dear ones in spirit life, or helping spirits to come themselves, or else giving spiritual advice to mortals who are in need of it. This little messenger has given over 2,500 spirit messages to people on earth during the last 7 years, has assisted over 900 spirits to control her medium, and speak or write for themselves, and has brought gladness to many, many hearts. This is the work of one little girl who lives in Golden Nest. Do you think, dear children, that she has any time to be naughty or unhappy? No, indeed, she is cheerful and kind, ever ready to assist and bless anyone, and always ready to do the work given to her to perform. I will give you the words of a sweet little song that I have recently heard sung by some little people who live in Golden Nest. I cannot bring to you the melody which accompanied the lines, though I wish I could do so. It was so very sweet and produced such a happy, joyous feeling in my heart. Could you only listen to the songs the little angels sing in their homes of light, I am sure you would never be naughty again, for you would try to be gentle and kind, so as to ever attract them to your side. But, dear children, we all love you, and we'll try to make you happy every day. And now for the song, which is entitled, Heavenly Love. Joy. Joy. The light of morning rolls in gladness on its way, flooding all the world with glory on this happy, peaceful day. So the love of God our Father bathes the universe in light, reaching down through all the darkness, it dispels the gloom of night. Joy. Joy. The heavenly splendor of our Father's tender power gladdens every weary spirit, in its saddest, loneliest hour. By and by the holy radiance shall illumine every life, and each soul shall rise in triumph far above all pain and strife. Joy. Joy. The love of angels softly flows from heaven to earth, blessing with its matchless power all the ills of mortal birth, a heavenly love that brings its bearer down with messages of peace to assuage the pains of mortals, and to make their joys increase. Joy. Joy. The light is spreading, we may bask within its rays, let us gather up its sunbeams while we chant our songs of praise. Let us bear the heavenly splendor of this deathless, boundless love unto those who mourn in sorrow for their friends who dwell above. Let us bless the weary hearted, and enfold their lives with love. We will now leave Golden Nest and its happy, busy inmates, and travel on a little further in our search for the children who dwell in the Summerland. Soon we reach Rocky Nook, where a number of little folks live who are growing strong and beautiful under the healthful breezes that ever blow around that favored spot. Rocky Nook is not a cold, bleak, barren place, though, as its name indicates. There are plenty of rocks or stones to be found there. These stones are round, smooth, and shining, of varied colors and different sizes. They are so clear and beautiful you can see the white sand shining through them, and when the sunlight falls upon them they glow with all the colors of the rainbow, and sparkle like precious gems. Rocky Nook is really a beach, composed of gleaming white sand and covered with these shining stones. Here also may be found delicate rose-tinted and snowy shells of different forms, which are more beautiful than any shell you ever saw on earth. The water is clear as crystal, and when it is quiet reflects the blue sky and spotless clouds. Moss and anemones grow in the limpid depths that have the appearance of a great flower garden, so beautiful is the vegetable growth therein. Sometimes the sea comes roaring to the shore in great foamy billows, making a musical sound like the chiming of many bells, that is very pleasant to hear. Little boats or shallops may be seen upon this shining water, filled with groups of many children who love to float upon the bosom of the great deep. These little ones are never afraid, for there is nothing to fear. Should the boats be tipped over, which, however, I think never occurs, nothing more than a dip in the water would happen to their inmates, as spirits cannot drown, and the children often take their bath in this great basin, sporting with the waves and laughing with great glee. Rocky Nook extends its shiny length for some distance along the shore. Here and there we perceive little pavilions built of the shining stones, each one laid with precision and skill. Some of these little temples are circular in form, and others are of the octagon shape, but all are beautiful in appearance. These little buildings have been erected by the children who live here, and serve as playhouses for them. This work gives them a knowledge of architecture and design, and will serve as models for something grander to be attempted by and by. In walking over the smooth stones, which are not rugged to our feet, we reach a great structure built of snow-white coral, and are surprised to learn that here in the spirit world must exist those tiny creatures who form this strange, perforated substance, since the coral could not be there had there been no coral builders to create it. Today I found a group of happy children who were laughing, dancing, and singing in great glee. Their hearts were merry and glad, not a frown marred the beauty of their faces, nor an ungentle word ruffled the silvery flow of speech and song that issued from their lips. Yet these little ones had known suffering, pain, and misery. Their earthly homes had been filled with poverty and cruelty. Many times they had felt the biting cold of winter, and suffered for the want of something to eat. Their parents were poor and ignorant, who neglected their children and could not properly care for them. So the little ones pined away and aided, that is, their little bodies perished, but their spirits were taken to the summerland and placed under the care of loving and tender women, who ministered to their wants, attended to them assiduously, taught them lessons of love and truth, until they have outgrown the unhappy condition which their earth life surrounded them with, and are the joyous, gentle children whom I today saw smiling and singing with glee. These are the little folks who dwell in Rocky Nook. Here, by the side of the clear and sparkling water, they live in little houses built far back from the sands, surrounded by groves of trees and beds of flowers. They have the benefit of the clear and bracing air that blows across the bright waters, and can also enjoy the shady retreats of the old trees that wave their branches a little way inland. Every day the children gather on the sands and study the composition of the rocks and shells and corals, or sail in their floats, or bathe in the cool, refreshing sea. They have erected the structure of coral of which I have spoken, with great nicety and skill, fitting piece by piece into each other with the utmost precision, and have left it upon the sand as a shining beacon to their playmates and friends who dwell on Sunny Isle, a beautiful spot across the water. I suppose my little friends on earth know that when people are cramped by ignorance and poverty, they have to bend all their energies in struggling to live, and that the spiritual part of their natures, not having opportunity to grow, becomes dwarfed and stunted. When the little folks who live in Rocky Nook first came to the Summerland, they were pale and puny in appearance, weak and languid, but the bracing air of this beautiful seaside home, the enjoyments of its outdoor sports, the loving care and instructions of its keepers, the bewitching study of the lessons it has to teach, soon turn up the entire system of the children brought here, and they grow strong and active, anxious to learn the lessons, to help each other, and to become smart and good men and women. And thus it is the children who might have grown up on earth in an atmosphere of sin and evil, becoming depraved men and women, when taken to the Summerland are cared for and educated to be useful and honorable members of society. The children of Rocky Nook have all the advantages of the highest instruction that life affords. All branches of education are open to them, and they advance rapidly in knowledge, for, like all spirits who are not confined to the earth, they are quick to grasp and retain information, their powers of perception and observation being very keen. As these children grow in stature and wisdom, and arrive at the stage of early manhood or womanhood, they leave the homes and schools of Rocky Nook, and enter into association with advanced spirits who have long labored in connection with good people on earth to lessen human ignorance, and teach mortals how to live better lives. Their places at the beautiful seaside resort are quickly filled by other waifs from earthly life, who are carried there to receive instruction and growth, and prepare themselves to become teachers and guides to ignorant and suffering ones of earth. The little children who live in Rocky Nook seldom come back to earth. The memory of their mortal life is unpleasant, and they do not like to think of it, but as they grow and become wise and good, and learn of the sad condition of many poor people who live here, they have a desire to help them. Then these bright spirits find their mission, which is to lift up some lowly one, to make strong some person who does wrong, so that he or she can resist evil temptation. They then prepare themselves for the work before them, and when the time comes they leave their pleasant home by the water and seek the company of those spirits who are experienced in working for humanity, by whom they are guided in their labor of benefiting mortals. Let me tell you something, dear children, that perhaps you have never heard. You know, I suppose, that there are many little ones on earth who are growing up in ignorance and amid the dreadful conditions of extreme poverty and crime. Well, the dark and immoral surroundings of their lives attract undeveloped spirits who have not outgrown their evil inclinations, and such spirits live over again their lives of sin in connection with those who grow up amid such adverse conditions. But, while the unfortunate children are thus unpleasantly situated, each is attended by a guardian angel or messenger of light, who watches every opportunity to benefit and bless them, and who will be with them until they emerge from sin and unhappiness to a condition of purity and peace, even though it be not until they have passed from earth and lived many years in the spirit world. Such spirits as those who live in Rocky Nook are the guardian angels of the poor, ignorant, unclean, and miserable children of earth. Their mission is to attend these unhappy creatures, and to work in their behalf, prompting a good thought or generous impulse in their hearts whenever conditions are favorable, watching over and looking after them, visiting the more fortunate ones of earth and influencing them to pity, assist, and teach their miserable fellow beings. Thus they toil on, attending their charge even though it live a life of error, going with it to the spirit world and working upon its sensibilities, until at last, in some way, it recognizes the presence of the good angels, turns from the evil ones around it, repents of the past, seeks for light, finds it, and begins to labor for the good of others. And so Rocky Nook is a school of preparation where teachers become qualified to minister to the needs of the lowliest of earth. It is a beautiful spot, and well worthy a place in the Summerland. The labor that its inmates perform is destined to outwork grand results to humanity, and when Earth's favored children cooperate with them, the victory over ignorance and evil will soon be won. Sunny Isle is a beautiful island that is covered with the greenest of grass, and spangled with the sweetest and prettiest of flowers. The sun sheds its golden rays upon a number of cozy homes on this radiant island, in which little children dwell together in harmony and love. The houses on Sunny Isle are circular in form, and composed of a white material which resembles the marble of earth, only more transparent. The roofs are supported by pillars, around which flowering vines twine, shedding their fragrance upon the balmy air. The interiors of these homes are decorated with beautiful pictures and statuary, and furnished with pretty yet simple furniture for comfort and convenience of the inmates. On this island, a number of little children live with their parents and teachers, and pursue their studies from day to day. These little ones once lived in earthly forms, but the conditions of the material sphere were too severe for them to endure, and so they drifted to the summerland. Some of them are with their own parents, who passed from earth before they did, while the fathers and mothers of others are still inhabitants of the mortal sphere, and do not know that their little ones are cared for, taught, and protected by loving guardians, who are laboring for the good of others. The children of Sunny Isle learn the first principles of knowledge. They are laying the foundations of a liberal education, and, under the wise instruction of their tutors, are receiving practical information concerning the origin, uses, and destiny of life. Here they develop their natural tastes and inclinations, and early show what particular line of labor they are best adapted for. The abilities of the child are encouraged to unfold, and they are given opportunities for expression in outward form. By and by, these little ones will have passed through their preparatory discipline on this island, and be qualified to enter a higher department of training and of knowledge. They will then leave this place for a home elsewhere, perhaps in one of our large cities of spirit life, or in some of the academic groves where learned teachers and masters of art and science give practical instruction in the various branches of education to their pupils. Then other little ones will be brought to Sunny Isle, to take up the studies and advance in the direction of those who have preceded them. But because the little people who live in this bright spot are studious and industrious, you must not think they are unhappy, for indeed they are the merriest, healthiest set of little chatterers that you ever saw. No late hours, no severe lessons beyond their years and comprehension, no ill-ventilated apartments, and no food that will not assimilate with their systems, tax their mental and bodily powers beyond endurance, as is the trouble with so many young people of Earth. Plenty of fresh sunlight, air, water, fruits, etc., are supplied these spirit children. Lessons adapted to their understanding are explained to them, and generally illustrated by objective experiments. They are allowed to practice any kind of labor that they are interested in, and thus get a practical information in relation to it. Their clothing is loose and comfortable, and does not restrict their movements, and all things are conducive to their health and happiness, so that they cannot help being joyous and free. Sunny Isle is often visited by the children of Rocky Nook, which is not far across the sparkling water that laves the shining banks of this pretty spot, and frequently a number of floats or shallops are seen cresting the dimpling waves, filled with merry, light-hearted little folks from one or the other of these places, who are visiting each other. Air cars are also seen floating in the atmosphere, bearing their precious burdens of happy, fearless children from point to point of interest, wherever may be their destination. These young people can also glide through the atmosphere by their own will power, without being obliged to resort to conveyance of any kind. This power of navigating the air by the force of will is natural to the spirit, but cannot be acquired while encased in the mortal form, because the physical body is too ponderous to be conveyed through the air without mechanical support. Spirits who live on earth but a few hours, or months, or even but 2 or 3 years, are enabled to float in the manner of which I speak almost at once when they reach the summerland. But those who have remained on earth for some years have to become accustomed to this method of exerting their will sufficiently to glide through the atmosphere, as the effort does not come readily to them. They are timid and afraid, and have to practice many times before they gain confidence to float any distance. Little mortal children, when first born, could swim easily if placed in water and allowed to use their limbs, and if the practice was continued they would have no difficulty in navigating the water, because swimming is natural to them. But if they are kept out of the water for years, they lose their natural ability for passing through it. They grow timid and fearful, and have to practice many times before they gain power to swim to any distance. And that is just the way with the natural powers of the spirit, they must be exercised to be of use. Sunny Isle is one of a group of three islands, the other two are in appearance similar to the first. They are also inhabited by little children and their teachers. The studies and pursuits are similar to those of which I have spoken. These islands are called Concordia and Milady.